Welcome back to Utah's Hip Hop Station, bringing you the latest beats and big hits for the kids. Is this, what is this?
This is Simon Says.
Oh, is this Beastie Boys?
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
This is Simon Says.
Just labeled Simon Says.
I like it. It's good stuff, Lloyd. Hans Olsen, Scott Gerard. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network. Coming out of a weekend with another Utah game and having an opportunity to talk with Utah head basketball coach Larry Kraskowiak, I thought it'd be great to bring on the Athletics, Chris Kamrani. Chris, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, Hans. How are you?
I'm doing really good, and I want to just check in on you, make sure your Thanksgiving was everything it was supposed to be.
It was good, man. I'm on day 5 of leftovers, which doesn't do my waistline any good, but I guess in 2020 I'll just have to take what was once perceived as a loss as a victory. So that's kind of where I'm at.
It serves you right. Nobody should be as felt as you. The last time I saw you, I thought to myself, man, that kid needs to eat a sandwich, like at least 25 to 30 sandwiches. You're a lean fella.
Yeah, I mean, before COVID hit, I was trying to stay in shape as best as possible, playing in a few indoor soccer leagues a week and just running around. But obviously that's grinded to a screeching halt. So this year I've been trying to maintain my svelte look for the masses by doing yard work and trying to continue to impress my wife, which is a very tough thing to do.
That is a tough thing. What do you know about pickleball? Have you gotten into that sport yet?
Oh, I love it. Oh, it's the best. Yeah, so we live just on the other side of Fairmont Park, and my buddies and I, before COVID, were just going down there once a week to play because they have new pickleball courts down there that are really nice. And it's a blast. It is unfortunate because the amount of courts in Salt Lake proper are kind of hard to come by. And as you know, it's kind of a sport that's popular with the elderly folks. So they are known to be early risers, more so than me. So before COVID, if you weren't at the courts on the weekend by 8 o'clock, yeah, you were basically sitting and waiting in line in order to get on the court. But it's a blast. I love it.
Yeah, sitting behind Wilford and Becky, just waiting for those two to play out. Is it like pool at the old bar where you slide a quarter underneath the edge? Like, can you get next game? Is there a way
we
to
got next?
it's kind of like it's awkward because being a young man, I always kind of relent to my elders. No pun intended. So yep. It's like, I'm not going to be like, hey, I had next. Like, these are a lot of folks who are enjoying the latter years of their life, enjoying the moonlight. And who am I to be able to step into their way of trying to get on the court and win a pickleball match?
I agree. Do you think pickleball has staying power? Because, man, it's been a flash in the pan here. Or am I missing something? Has it been around for years, or do you think it has staying power?
I think it has staying power in that, like, everybody can play. I do think that it's adapted to, you know, our culture here in Utah quite easily. It's been around for, like, 30, 40 years. It started, actually, you know, up in Washington. I don't know why I know this, but I do because I'm a weirdo. But, like, anyways, that's a long way of saying I think it has some staying power. We need something other than tennis and golf for, you know, us folks as we get older to enjoy and do it safely without worrying having to blow an Achilles tendon. So I hope for my sake, selfishly, as I get older, that it's still in the picture.
Hey, Chris, jumping into some Utah talk. We had Larry Kraskowiak on just to start the show sometime around 10:30, and I'll preface this with I'm a big Larry fan. I absolutely love Larry the person, and I've watched him every year since he stepped in 2011 and what he's done with this Utah basketball program. And I want to start with this. Just give me your overall impression and opinion of Larry Kraskowiak as the head coach of the University of Utah.
Yeah, he walked into basically an impossible situation almost 10 years ago. One of my best friends, Bill Oram, was the beat writer on that team that won 6 games back in 2011, and he has some some great stories about what it was like laying the foundation again up at the Huntsman Center. It's been an interesting go, I think, for Larry for a lot of reasons. I think the fan base, rightfully so, has high expectations because of what Utah basketball means to the school and to the fan base and to the community. It is a difficult job following in the footsteps of a guy that will always be remembered in Rick Majerus. I know, granted, Larry didn't replace Rick, but the what Utah represents from a basketball perspective is always going to be those teams in the late 90s and early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And it's proven to be difficult to get back to that level, especially in the Pac-12. And they had some great years. They had some, you know, that Sweet 16 run a few years ago. Larry, you know, struck with some really impressive recruiting talent and guys like DeLon Wright and Jakob Poeltl, Kyle Kuzma. But as we've seen, the era of the transfer portal has really hit Utah as hard as any, you know, Division I basketball program in the country. And I think a lot of folks, you know, get frustrated when they get excited about a high-profile recruit coming in who only turns around to leave the year after, a couple of years after. I do think this year is, I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but we talk about the sports, college sports specifically, in the era of COVID, and if it's fair to judge. But considering where Utah has been the last few years, they definitely need to figure out a way to get into striking distance within making a deep run in the Pac-12 tournament and making an NCAA tournament appearance here soon.
Yeah, I'm kind of kicking myself because I, you know, you sit there and wonder how you can phrase a question about the transfer portal and Booth Gotch and Matt Coleman and, you know, some of these others that have left the program that had such high hopes for. But in my mind, I constantly battle myself saying, why even ask? Because you know the answer. And the answer is coach speak. You'll probably never get that straight answer.
Right,
but have you heard any backstory as to why? And I get it because I was there and I've seen guys get booted and leave for it. Everybody has a different reason. They're extremely different ends of the spectrum. But is there a kind of a resounding or a repeating storyline as to why these guys are leaving?
I don't think so. I think every situation is so unique and different. It's no secret that Larry is a demanding coach that wants a lot from his players. And I don't think he's necessarily an overbearing coach for college basketball players in this era of the sport. But Larry is an old school basketball guy. He came up and played under, you know, a big time coach in Mike Montgomery at Montana and played for the Jazz during their heyday. And Larry was known as kind of an enforcer back during his playing days. That's the reason why he was an NBA player for a very long time. I would imagine that, you know, the way Larry coaches and instructs, he's a very no-nonsense kind of guy. Some players like that, and some players don't. And I think it's just so much easier for player movement nowadays. And I think Larry would be the first one to tell you that that's okay. And I think fans have to stop hitching their wagons to the idea of what players can be. And I know that's an impossible ask, mm-hmm. but the reality is these are young men that are trying to figure their lives out on the fly in the spotlight. And it's something that only a very small subset of people ever have to, you know, do. It's difficult. I mean, I know you dealt with it, but I couldn't imagine like people caring what I was doing when I was 19 years old outside of my parents. But mm-hmm. Here you have a bunch of strangers on the internet and people hyping you up or kind of tearing you down if you're not doing well. It's a difficult spot to be in. And I think I think that's a very long-winded way of saying I don't think there's one common theme, and it's not specific to Utah. But I think if you are coming to Utah to play for Larry, you have to understand what kind of a coach he is. And I think a lot of guys that eventually come to Utah maybe don't necessarily know how demanding he really is.
It's always a struggle for me, Chris, because I stand back and I, when I have face-to-face meetings with these coaches it's a lot of times I'll have opportunities to pick their brains away from the game and doing it on a kind of a player or a coach's level. And most times when I'm talking to coaches, I'll put myself in a position. I know they look at me like, well, I wonder if this guy could have played, or they look at me like an old player. I look at them like a prospective coach. Like, could I play for this guy? Would I play for this guy? In the way he's talking to me, presenting himself, acting. And I've been around Larry. You know, I was on the flagship station when they a year after they hired Larry, and was there and really close to that program for a while. And every interaction I had with Larry, I thought to myself, I would play for this guy tomorrow. I really would. I'd play for this guy tomorrow. I liked his hard nose. I like his attitude. I knew he'd probably shred me, tear me in half if I wasn't doing my job. But I also knew if I listened, I'd progress. I mean, the guy has NBA players, you know. Yeah. And so I look at this guy and I think, man, there's got to be a problem with the recruits that are coming in, more than it's a problem with Larry Kraskowiak, which I know goes back to Larry and who he's recruiting. But I guess that's a long-winded way of saying I would play for Larry. And I like him as a coach, and I hope that he can turn things around. And
Yeah. I mean, I think if you look at the – it's tough to gauge success based on just a few players, and it's tough to – gauge misses on a few players. There have been plenty of players that have come to Utah with high hopes that, you know, moved on and maybe didn't amount to the prestige that a lot of people believe they could. And then there are some that went to other schools and played great. But there are also kids that came to Utah, like I mentioned, guys like DeLon Wright out of junior college, guys like Jakob Poeltl, who nobody had ever heard of when they recruited him overseas, a kid like Kyle Kuzma, who came to Utah and had dealt with a lot in his life and came from a place in Flint, Michigan, where you have to be tough in order to thrive in life and in sports. And he proved that at Utah. So it is a difficult thing to try to deconstruct because, one, basketball rosters are relatively small in comparison to some of the other rosters that we deal with in sports. So it's everything is a little more personal, I think, for the fan base when something doesn't break their way, as opposed to, you know, if a Utah football player leaves and transfers, there's still 86 other guys on the team. I think with basketball specifically, it's so much more minute in terms of roster size and the personability of what the expectation is for these players is different.
Chris Camerani of The Athletic joining us here for a few more minutes. Chris, in your assessment, that what happened in that second half of that game, as Utah went into the second half up 21-0, what fell apart in your opinion?
Yeah, it's a young team. I mean, you know this better than anybody. I should be asking you these questions. It's a young team, and they are learning on the fly. And I know nobody wants to hear this, but the way this season is for this program, I look at it as kind of like if they were given a run of preseason games, if they were ever given that opportunity. That's what this is. It's a team that was young already coming in, but talented, young and talented, but then they had a COVID outbreak in their program and had to have their first two games of the year canceled. I just don't know how much I don't want to say results don't matter, but you just have to see how some of these players fare when the lights come on. And some have done great, some have struggled. But again, the expectations of what this year is needs to be dialed down a bit. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. It's a young team that for two quarters was dominating the game. That young offensive line with three true freshmen was, manning the front lines and getting push and allowing the running game to get going. And the defense, which I continue to be very impressed with, was making life difficult for a redshirt freshman quarterback. But as you saw, as the game wore on, experience mattered. Yeah. And for Utah, some guys that have experience, guys like Jake Bentley, have struggled. And that's the reality of where they are right now. They lost the guy that nobody really saw being the starter in on the first half of their season opener in Cam Rising. And then they're relying on a guy that hadn't started a football game in 14 months. This is the reality of the situation they're facing. And I maintain that if they can get through the rest of the year healthy and just play games, that's a win for me.
It's funny because as you were talking, I was listening to a couple of names that you were talking about in Bentley and talking about Rising being injured and out so quickly. And the thought came to my mind, the only thing I'm disappointed about so far this year is them losing Cam Rising. I kind of figured that the youth and all the revolving door and all the pain that these guys are going to go through, I knew it was going to be difficult. But the only thing I'm really disappointed about was losing Cam Rising, because when I watch Jake Bentley, I don't think, well, that's the future of Utah football. When I watch Ty Jordan, it's, oh, that's the future of Utah football. When I watch Jake Bentley, it's not. It's like, well, that's a Band-Aid that's not – it's just – it's not producing. And I can't help but think what Cam Rising would have been. And you cannot judge him off of the two quarters that you got to see him in. And so I guess, Chris, my question would be, what is the future of the Utah quarterback? What does it look like? Because if it's Jake Bentley, I'm a little bit nervous about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are layers to this conversation. And going in the post-Tyler Huntley era, I think a lot of people believed that once Jake Bentley committed to Utah out of, you know, South Carolina, they had kind of a broken down tier of quarterbacks that worked well for the immediate and for the future. But as Kyle Whittingham and Andy Ludwig have said, you know, ad nauseum throughout 2020, the competition was always going to be wide open. And we saw that come to fruition as Cam beat out Jake for that starting spot. When I say layers, there are layers because this year doesn't count towards eligibility. So how does Cam Rising winning the job out of an abbreviated fall camp affect Jake Bentley's desire to potentially come back next year? We don't know. And we don't know how, I mean, if Jake can get through this year healthy, that's great. Everybody wants to get through this year healthy, but how does that affect what the QB room is like next year? And we have to remember that Utah has one of its highest rated quarterback commits ever coming into the program, should he sign, in Peter Costelli out of Mission Viejo, a guy that had big time offers from programs in the SEC and the Big Ten and the Big 12 and the Pac-12. So as we know, the quarterback room is fluid and it's finicky. So it's going to be difficult to try to comprehend what this QB room looks like as of right now, come next spring and next fall, because If Cam Rising's shoulder was hurt that bad that he needs to have a pretty major surgery, as Kyle Whittingham alluded to, then that's a question mark for a quarterback. That's a major question mark for a quarterback. And then you talk about, does Jake Bentley want to stay around? I mean, this is all, you know, me guessing here. Does Jake want to stay around and give it another go? And then you bring in a really, you know, high-profile recruit that – you know, Utah was chasing for a long time and for good reason. And then you talk about the pressure that comes with all of these different quarterbacks and these different tiers in this quarterback room. I think with Utah, the conversation is always going to be about who's quarterback, because I think that's their final frontier of what really gets them over the hump in terms of being a contender in the conference year in and year out. And that hasn't changed. That hasn't changed.
Man, it's a really good point. And that is exactly what Utah fans have to be looking at over the years. And one thing that I've got to say in regards to that, Chris, is I believe that Andy Ludwig is the right guy for quarterback development. And you really don't have to look any further than him developing Brian Johnson, who has quickly become one of the top quarterback development coaches in the country at Florida, as well as an offensive coordinator now. And the development that Andy Ludwig helped him through, he is now disseminating. He's now drawing out to guys like Dak Prescott and guys like Trask that he's working with now, and many others. So I do believe that Andy Ludwig is the right guy in that coaching room to help these quarterbacks progress and develop. And I think it just takes the – it takes the right quarterback in the right moment and given the right amount of practice time. But Andy is the right guy, but he sure took a lot of heat. Andy Ludwig took a lot of heat after this Utah-Washington game. But Chris, do you agree or disagree that Andy Ludwig is the right guy in that quarterback's room?
Well, I tend to defer to the guy that's been around for 16 years as a head coach, when he said, when a guy like Kyle Whittingham says that when Andy became available, he knew that he had to go out and get him, and that he never really forgave himself for letting Andy leave over a decade ago. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that goes to speak to the level of competence and trust that Kyle has in Andy. This is just going to take some time. I think what people don't really understand is that, like, this isn't Alabama, this isn't Clemson. You aren't coming into a situation where any number of players at any number of positions could start at any other school, at any other conference in the country. Utah is going to take a little bit of time to build what Andy Ludwig wants. And we know what Andy Ludwig wants. He wants versatility, and he wants guys that can make plays all over the field in different areas, in different ways, in different areas. He's not going to fit, you know, a round hole in a square peg. Yep. But the reality is, you know, Andy walked into a situation last year where he had the best, you could argue, one of the best offensive players in the history of the program in Zach Moss. Mm-hmm. And he got a guy in Tyler Huntley to finally achieve his full potential. But they also had an offensive line that was young, and they still have that this year. The issue with college football is you're never going to have everything lined up perfectly. And I think last year was as close as it got, hands for yep. Utah, in terms of having a defense that was, you know, an all-world defense, and you had a senior quarterback that had the right coach come along at the right time, and you had a guy that broke basically every rushing record in the history of a program that's over 100 years old. This is going to take time, and I know fans aren't patient, but the reality is it's going to take time. And I think first and foremost, the thing that I think about most looking at this Utah team this year is this is a building block for the future. And by that, I mean this young offensive line has to get better at pass protection, and that young defensive line has to figure out how to get to the quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's just the way Kyle Whittingham wants to play football, and it's proven to be successful, but it's not going to be perfect every single year, especially when you have so many young players. I mean, there was a time in that game, Hans, where you had five true freshmen on the field together on the defensive side of the ball, and then you had two true freshmen and one redshirt freshman on the offensive line. They're good for a reason. They're there for a reason, but it's not like these guys are going to come in and play like first-round picks right away. It's right. going to take some time.
Yeah, these guys aren't grading out at 92% like last year's guys. These guys are grading out at 78 to 82%, giving up big plays, but also having big moments. You're 100% right. And, Chris, we really appreciate your time. This state is lucky to have you. In my opinion, you're the best writer in the state. You're the best we've got. And I always appreciate your time coming on and giving us some time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, Hans.
Yep. Thanks so much. There you go. Chris Camrani with The Athletic. And I'm not joking about that. I think in my 15 years being here on the media side of things, and I didn't really pay attention to the written word or the spoken word when I was here playing, but 15 years, I think Chris Camrani is probably the, I would say the most, what would you say, the most accurate, hardest working sports journalist that this state's had in at least the 15 years that I've been here. Fantastic. He is worth the Athletic subscription alone. He really is. He's great. And Utah fans, I hope you appreciate what he does, because there aren't many that give you that coverage, that actually care, that do the work. And I also know, because I've talked to many coaches up there, that he's respected in those coaches' rooms. And that goes a long way, because I can't say the same for a lot of people that are trying to do the same job he's doing. He's fantastic at his work. Big thanks to Chris Camrani for joining us. We'll come back, and we'll start to put a bow on this. We'll give you a couple of thoughts and also revisit a couple of Larry Kraskowiak's comments. That's all coming up next, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Let's go! The Big Show.
It's a big deal!
With Gordon Monson and Jake Scott.
Derek Favors with us. Derek, I'm sure you noticed Jazz fans are pretty excited about having you back with the team. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel great, honestly. I think the Jazz or Utah in general has one of the most loyal, diehard fan bases in basketball and sports or whatever. When I was with the Pelicans after I left, man, they just kept sending me messages and just telling me how much they appreciated me and how much they loved me and how much they wished me the best. And they was watching all the games that I was playing in, and they couldn't wait for me to come back and play in Utah. And they showed a lot of love, and that meant a lot to me when I was making my decision. I'm very appreciative and very blessed to be able to play in front of them again.
The Big Show, weekdays from 2 to 7 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Or maybe you missed another of the guy's shenanigans.
Recall.
It's time to recall all the great and not so great moments of the show.
Recall.
It's Total Recall with Hanson Scotty on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Recall.
Welcome back, 97.5, 12 into the Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hanson, Scotty, taking you right up to 2 o'clock where we'll hand it off to the Big Show. Big thanks to Chris Kamrani. Fantastic. Love his work. You know, Lloyd, he always thinks outside of the box, always has good insight, always has good connections, and always appreciate his opinion. So thank you for his time. By the way, Larry Kraskowiak was able to jump on with us at 10:30 today. Speaking of good insight, Larry kind of took us through the scheduling and the youth of this team. We want to let you hear from Larry Kraskowiak, just talking about the schedule and some of the youth issues that he's dealing with.
Larry Kraskowiak, head coach of the Utah men's basketball team, joining us. You were set to open up the schedule last week. Unfortunately, due to COVID issues, you had to push it back. You open up against December 3rd, on December 3rd against Washington, and then you'd have four games of non-conference play. I mean, I know everybody's schedule is kind of turned upside down this year, but how strange is it to open up a conference game and then play four non-conference games?
Yeah, it's – well, and then, you know, you throw Washington as that team, and they've got a distinct blueprint with their zone and athletes and a different style of play that is really hard to simulate in a practice setting. And it's hard to even show your players when you don't have a lot of film to show your players. So, you know, we'll be going on some years past to give the guys a visual for what to expect. But, you know, I think for the most part, we've been wounded and we've had our moments, but there's not a team out there right now that doesn't feel like they've been turned upside down in some way, that have been affected by COVID, and it's far from perfect. So, you know, I think this is one of those times that really flashes back kind of to your younger days when you were out on the playground or in an open gym. And if you were a basketball player, you went in and you didn't want to lose, you know, and what you did is you played really, really hard. You didn't know much about your opponent. But typically the team that played the hardest and with an edge to them came out the victor. And, you know, we aren't going to have a big sample size of scouting reports and a bunch of data, and not that many people are concerned about our story that we'd like to tell. It's just a matter of getting down and getting dirty for 40 minutes. And so I think some of that old school edge is probably what's going to be needed right now. And you're just going to have to be ready to compete when you get that chance.
I was trying to put myself in your shoes this morning when I got the news that you were going to be jumping on with us, and just trying to think how I would start into coaching in a season like this. And the first thing I thought was, I go to my seniors, every one of them, my 6, 7, hopefully 8, maybe even 9 seniors. And I would, and I'd bring them all in and I'd say, guys, we got an opportunity in front of us. And then I started thinking, wait a minute, I think Coach Kraskowiak only has one. And then I was like, but I could go to my juniors. And then I started counting, and it was, you've got 13 sophomores and freshmen. Like, this is this is a young roster.
Yeah, well, you know what? It feels like we're a group of cagey old veterans, because the best news is those 10, whatever it was, 8 or 9 or 10 sophomores aren't freshmen anymore, you know, and they've played a lot of minutes, and it's a pretty mature group. And so even though we're still young on paper, and as you know, this year doesn't count against anybody. So you can hold in time, and, you know, Fonz is a senior this year. Well, he'll be a senior next year. And so we've got an opportunity with a young nucleus of guys that bodes well for the future. And you know, they were kind of thrown to the fire. Some of those freshmen were thrown to the fire before they probably were expected to be. And so they're tougher for it. And we definitely, you know, I've always wanted to have a player led team. I don't want it to be a coach driven team. And I think we've got a nice group. Timmy Allen and Riley Batten and Rylan Jones were just named captains yesterday with our team. And those guys have a lot of moxie and stand for a lot of the right things. And so we can put kind of the reins in their hands as far as leading our team. But we also expect, as I mentioned yesterday when we practiced, that you know, if you're not a captain, that doesn't mean you can't bring some captain and leadership material to the group and hold each other accountable and find your little niche. So that's the other part that's so awesome about being, you know, you talked about the perseverance and kind of staying with it. It's, you know, trying to be a day maker, right? We know that our lives have all been turned upside down, and nobody's really comfortable right now, but can you walk into a practice gym or a team meeting and be willing to bring a little something, to give something, instead of having your hand out and expect to be, you know, have something given to you? And I think that's one area right now that's really challenging, but we're talking an awful lot about, and it's fun. Our group is a good group of guys, and we're going to, you know, keep trying to grow.
We talked a little bit about this on the football side with coaches. I'm kind of curious on the basketball side. Your guys are able to get an extra year of eligibility, but how does that affect your recruiting and trying to reload a roster, but also navigate guys that, you know, have that extra year? I mean, how do you walk that line?
Well, you know, I think it's a good thing. As Han said, you know, if you had 8 seniors, we probably would have had 6 to 8 guys signed to take their spots. And then all of a sudden you go, wait a minute, we don't have those seniors, you know, but yet you've got all these new guys coming in. So you'd have a gigantic roster. And I think, you know, one of the bright spots for us is that we were a young team. We had one senior. We've signed one kid, you know, one young man from Serbia, and it was going to take Fonz's place. Well, now they get to both be on the team at the same time, and we'll only have one additional scholarship. So I think compared to maybe many and probably, you know, the majority of teams, I think it's real palatable, the situation that we're in. And you know, it if there's going to be a pandemic, it probably came at a good time in terms of the nature of our roster. So we feel fortunate that way.
There you go. Big thanks to Larry Kraskowiak for coming on a little bit earlier to talk about this Utah basketball team, some of the struggles that they face. And it is a young team. It's crazy. 13 freshmen and sophomores on this roster, one senior, but you do have some really entertaining individuals that are going to be on this roster, and I'm excited to see what he's able to do this year. But again, very young, and a tough year to do it. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, and we'll get into some Matinee Monday, and we'll hand it off to the Big Show. That's all coming up next.
The Zone Sports Network is Utah's number one choice for sports radio in Utah. From DJ and PK to Hanson Scotty and The Big Show with Gordon Monson and Jake Scott, The Zone continues to dominate the competition. Thank you to all of you that continue to make The Zone Sports Network Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports station. Your home for the best coverage of the teams you're passionate about is right here. 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Love America First Credit Union. They do such a fantastic job for me and my family. They can do a great job for you. And remember, matinee Mondays with your America First Credit Union account. That means you can get out to any one of the megaplexes and get matinee pricing every single Monday with that account. Lloyd, there is an amazing movie in the theaters right now. It's a movie called Let Him Go. It's the Kevin Costner movie called Let Him Go. And it is fantastic. A man and I got out to the theater. And, of course, they're still doing all the social distancing. You wear your mask there in the theater. You take all the extra precautions. But we went out and we watched Let Him Go with Kevin Costner and Diane Lane. That movie is the first, I would say, 4 to 4.5-star movie I've seen since all the COVID issues started. It is
that, with Kevin Costner. Huh?
Yes, it's solid. I don't want to give up anything, but I will tell you, it's about a grandma being. It's a grandma scorned. It's not mom scorned. It's a grandma. And by the way, it's not easy watching Diane Lane play a grandma. It's like,
but she's the grandma on there.
Yeah, she's the grandma in this one.
Wait, I picture the lady like from Titanic.
No.
It's been 84 years.
No, it's not that grandma. This is Diane Lane.
Diane Lane?
Yeah, and she's I think it was Hollywood magic to have her look as wrinkly as she looked. Because I have not seen Diane Lane in this fashion yet. But she was spectacular. Kevin Costner was excellent. So head out, use your America First Credit Union account, get the matinee pricing, get out to a megaplex, grab a little bit of popcorn, socially distance, and get out and watch Let Him Go. And you will thank me later. Really good movie. Other than that, big thanks to Larry Kraskowiak for joining us today. Really great job. Dennis Lindsay, Justin Zanuck did a fantastic job setting up the Jazz season. I'm sure that the Big Show will get into some of that sound right out of the gates. Big thanks to Chris Camerani. Fantastic interview with him. You can go on.
I think Ute fans should be just take it easy. I think you were able to put their mind at ease a little bit today.
Everybody take
throughout the show with Chris Camerani as well.
I know.
I just take it easy. Just take the season for what it is, for what it's worth.
And I do understand the anxieties because Utah fans are used to winning, and you've got a couple of losses under your belt. Oregon State's going to be another challenge, even though it looks like their starting quarterback is possibly out for this Saturday. But, you know, Oregon State just beat an Oregon team. It's kind of anybody at any time right now, I guess.
Again, that defense looked really good, Utah's defense, for a good portion of that game.
In the first half, yeah. Specifically.
Yeah, definitely.
They did. They looked
so many bright
really
spots.
Good.
And my biggest bright spot, offensively anyways, is Ty Jordan, as it's been.
Yeah, he is. He's great. And I just think that there's three guys now that you really have to emphasize. Ty Jordan, Brant Keithy, and Brian Thompson.
And remember, I mean, he's your quarterback for the year now, but Bentley's not. He's not your quarterback.
He can't be. Bentley's got a couple of flaws, but I do appreciate it. He wants it.
Yeah,
you can tell.
Absolutely.
You know? I will tell you, he better figure out how to stay in the pocket a little bit more because he took a lot of hits. And it's just going to take one hit, one cutback hit, and there's going to be a shoulder that comes out. There's going to be a collarbone that snaps.
Next man up.
There's going to be ribs that crack. You know, so understand, guys are out there gunning for you. You're going to take some big hits. And be a little bit more careful. Because in the first half, I thought he navigated it really well. In the second half, he tried to do too much. Got out of pockets early.
He was great in the first half. They were coming around too deep. The edges were coming too deep. And all he was able to do was step up.
Yeah.
Step up in the pressure and get 10 yards.
Yep.
I mean, he did really well.
But then he started taking way too many hits. So hopefully he can improve that. But I did think that the first half looked really nice. You know, they moved Nick Ford into the center spot. I thought Nick actually graded out really well as a center, but there are some issues with the tackles. They better start picking up some man protection. They better be able to start picking up an edge rusher and doing it independently because number 58 torched them in the second half. Game changer. Changed the flow of the game in the second half.
He had all their sacks.
Yeah, 3 sacks by number 58, including a strip sack and causing other
Danier
problems.
Danier had a third.
I think he had a fumble recovery, too, didn't he? Or an
Danier
interception.
Danier had a third where he actually accidentally, because he got there so quick, he went up top and got that personal foul.
Yep.
But that would have been a fumble.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That was in the first half.
All right, there you go. We'll hand this thing over to the big show. Coming up next, Jake Scott, Gordon Monson, best in the business. Next, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.